Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
We talk a lot about sustainability, about building things that last for the future. I think that's something that really we lost sight of for a while, and I'm starting to hear it coming back with younger people all the time, planning for the future and sustainability in terms of our environment. We know that Pittsburgh, despite the fact that the steel industry is much smaller than it used to be, still has some of the worst air quality in the country. We still are probably not as green as we should be. There are other parts of the country and other parts of the world that have gone much further in adopting green energy solutions such as solar and wind. Bhavani Patel is executive director of Sustainable Pittsburgh. She's been there for about a year now. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good morning, Bhavani.
Good morning.
Tell us what Sustainable Pittsburgh is. Pittsburgh. There's my Pittsburgh accent coming out. Tell us what Sustainable Pittsburgh is first.
Yeah, so Sustainable Pittsburgh has been an organization that's been around for about 25 years now, and we empower decision-making that builds a fundamentally equitable, healthy, resilient, and prosperous region. And the way that we do that is through convening a few different networks, and then we have a suite of programming that we offer, and we operate in the 10-county region, so it's not just Pittsburgh, although our name would imply that. A couple of the networks that we organize include our CEOs for Sustainability Network, where we work with small, medium, large corporations to help advance their sustainability initiatives and thought leadership to build regional economic growth. And then we also organize our Clean Energy Roundtable, which focuses on the rise of the energy sector in the region and what that means in terms of renewables and creating job visibility, making sure that everybody can sort of take advantage of the opportunities that exist as a result of those investments.
You have been a borough council member in, I believe it was Edgewood Borough.
That's correct.
You've also been around the tech industry most of your career. What led you to this new career path with Sustainable Pittsburgh?
You know, I think fundamentally when we think about southwestern Pennsylvania and we think about the opportunities that exist, a lot of it has to do with making sure that we can attract and retain talent, making sure that we're meeting the moment and innovating, taking advantage of the resources that we have when it comes to educational resources, when we think about the financial investments that are coming to the region. And a big part of that is quality of life, right? You want to be able to live in a city where you feel like it's safe, it's clean, and that it has a future, not just, you know, in terms of national, but global leadership. And I think that sustainability embodies those values. And so when I took over in January of this year, the thing that I always used to ask myself is, how can we position sustainability as a driver of economic growth? How can we make sure that everybody has the ability to participate in what this means to build our region forward?
I want to dig a little bit deeper in that. Bhavani Patel is our guest this morning. She's executive director of Sustainable Pittsburgh, and we're going to be talking about what that means and also how communities, organizations, and companies can partner with her group. Can you give us your website and social media contacts?
Yes, sustainablepittsburgh.org, and you can find us on Facebook and Instagram with the same handles.
Okay. Quality of life, because this is not a political program, and I don't want to get into politics, but it was something that certainly came up a lot in 2024 after a push by the previous presidential administration, very heavy investments into green and renewable energy. There was this whiplash back with President Trump's second term of we are pulling back from sustainability. He's been, Seth Meyers has been making jokes about, he's going on and on about he wants coal-powered or oil-powered aircraft carriers again, and not, I don't like electric, he says. But that was something that I heard from voters was, well, I'm worried that green energy is going to increase my electric bill and that's going to lower my quality of life. Can we have sustainability and quality of life at the same time?
Yes, we absolutely can. And I think it's actually becoming a necessity, right? So when we think about the rise of artificial intelligence and how that's really transforming the day-to-day of everybody, not just in this country, but globally, we really do need to be thinking about the growth in terms of energy demands and the implications that that's going to have on the grid and the implications that that's going to have on our utility bills, right? And so ultimately, you know, we do need to diversify our energy sources. And it's not just going to be one source that's going to be the answer, right? I think that the more diversity that we can have in our energy profile, not only building more resilience into our ability to provide more affordable energy to consumers and working class families, but I think it also positions us in terms of a competitive edge nationally and globally. And, you know, I don't want to get into it, but it's also, it's also a security concern, right?
Yeah.
When we think about where the United States is positioned globally.
I was on Bhavani Patel is our guest this morning. She is with Sustainable Pittsburgh, sustainablepittsburgh.org. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, wherever finer social media is sold. I was on a conference call recently with people from around the world. One of them is a scientist. One of them is a scientist in Australia. And we were talking personal lives, what's going on in our personal lives, and someone on the call who's up in New Hampshire mentioned that they're installing solar panels on their farm. And the person from Australia said, oh, you know, how many kilowatts are you generating? And the person in New Hampshire told them, and the person in Australia said, that's it? She said, because our entire house, we generate all of our energy needs with solar. And the laboratory facility that she's in has covered their whole parking lot with solar panels now, and they're generating most of their, in fact, they're going backwards, they're feeding the grid now from their solar. And she said that's very common in her. Now, I know Australia gets a lot of sun, especially some of the northern parts of Australia, but where are we?
Yeah.
On solar in Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah. So, you know, unfortunately, you kind of alluded to it, Jason. I think, you know, in this current administration, I think that there are just different priorities in terms of how we think about positioning ourselves in globally and in the United States. And as a result, that clearly has had a lot of implications in terms of federal investments and how we strategically prioritize certain initiatives. But I will say, one of the things that we've noticed at Sustainable Pittsburgh as a result of our CEOs for Sustainability Network is that even though a lot of these federal resources have been pulled back, and it has kind of, you know, hampered pretty significantly our competitive edge when it comes to solar and wind, I think a lot of companies across the board are trying to meet the moment and innovating as a result, right? So, and I like to say that the train has kind of left the station, right? There was a period in which these investments were made, and sustainability is not just only seen as the right thing to do, right? It's also because people invest because they're seeing implications in terms of their bottom line. And if it's going to have positive implications to their bottom line, and it's going to allow them to operate their companies more efficiently, then they're going to continue to make those investments because they're saving money. And so even though we're seeing certain things out of the federal level, people are innovating and they're trying to come up with new, interesting ideas to continue to engage and meet the moment. And I think that that's something that's really exciting to us because we're allowed to be thought partners with those companies to showcase that those innovations are happening. And that's actually a big part of why, you know, we organize our annual C-suite summit, which we just finished on November 19th this year. And the core theme of that was, you know, resilience and the return on the investment of sustainability and why companies are doing that. And we had companies from all across the board that are, you know, engaged in Southwestern Pennsylvania represented in that room. And it was just a very positive feeling, despite some of the challenges that we're seeing.
I want to get into the summit, and I want to kind of get your recap of what happened there. We have a break coming up, so we'll get to that after the break. Bhavani Patel is our guest this morning. You touched on something that I think is I want to underline it and circle it, which is that the take up of renewables is being driven now by business. It's being driven by business interests, and it's being driven by, let's say, I'm a capitalist, let's say it, by capitalism, right? They are saving money from this. This is not something that is being forced on companies. They're doing it because they want to do it. And it's not, and again, there is such a thing as ethical investing, and there is ethical capitalism, but they're not doing it because it makes them feel good. They're doing it because it's saving them money.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fundamentally it. I'm a firm believer that, you know, if you want to make change and you want to build progress, you have to meet people where they are. And, you know, part of the work that we do is we engage with companies of all levels. And if that is you know, the way that we can get them to adopt these practices and see the value, then let's run with that, right? And ultimately, you know, it's a long-term game. You know, I already sort of referenced AI and the implications and, you know, the demand that that's going to have on very finite resources, including energy, you know, various forms of energy, water, et cetera. You know, you can't just rely on one source of energy. You have to diversify your portfolio if you're going to adopt these technologies and see them grow and help build your company forward 10, 15, 20 years down the line. And that innovating starts now.
I have a lot of friends who are gearheads, motorheads, car fans. And what I have seen with them is, I remember The Simpsons and other comedians making jokes about electric cars, right? Now, Elon Musk, love him or hate him, made electric cars cool, right? They're fast. They're fun. They are becoming more affordable. And what I hear from my motorhead friends now is the first time they drive an electric car, it's like, that thing has a lot of power. That thing is fast. That thing is. So they're doing it for practical. Now it's a practical thing. Now it's a cool thing to have. They're, it's not being forced on them, just as companies are doing it because it's saving them money. People are taking up electric cars because it's fun to drive an electric car.
Yeah, it's fun. And it's also, you know, it takes time, right? It's like the curve of adoption. Anytime that something new is introduced, it's going to take some time for people to get familiar with it. And, you know, I think we also, as organizations, you know, like Sustainable Pittsburgh in the nonprofit sector, we have a responsibility also to help ease people into that, right? A big part of what we do, in addition to convening and some of the programming, which I haven't even talked about yet, is it's education. It's making sure that we're a resource for people, that if they have questions, let's talk about it, right? Let's get to the bottom of some of your concerns and let's equip you with the information so that you can make informed decisions about what makes sense for you and your family and your day-to-day.
SustainablePittsburgh.org is the website. You can find them on social media. Bhavani Patel is the executive director. You're tuned to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. On Radio 81 WEDO, 1550 and 101.1 WZUM, the Pittsburgh Jazz Channel, and Tube City Online Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the City of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
We're talking with Bhavani Patel. She is Executive Director of Sustainable Pittsburgh, sustainablepittsburgh.org. You mentioned that Sustainable Pittsburgh's been around for about 25 years now. What was the impetus for creating Sustainable Pittsburgh, and who was behind that?
Yeah, so our founding executive director was Court Gold. And when Court had started Sustainable Pittsburgh, no one was talking about sustainability. And this was like roughly 25 years ago. It was a completely new concept. And, you know, what was sustainability? How can you integrate that into different parts of life? You know, how do you get people to actually take it seriously? And since then, we've clearly seen that there's been a progression, not just in our region, but societally, in terms of how we view sustainability and, you know, how it impacts our day-to-day lives. But yeah, Court started the organization with a couple of different programming efforts, you know, fun ways to engage with the concept of sustainability, educational things, you know, community-oriented events, and then it naturally kind of transpired into working with organizations. And I would say Sustainable Pittsburgh now primarily, especially after me coming on board, you know, we view ourselves as primarily as a B2B organization. So we work with, like I said, companies, Main Street businesses, various different nonprofit organizations. We partner with other organizations to help sort of, you know, help frame the regional dialogue around sustainability and really kind of pay attention to key issues that are impacting sustainability, energy, and various, you know, opportunities in Southwestern PA.
Talk now a little bit about the C-Suite Summit. When was that and who all participated in that?
Yeah, so our annual C-Suite Summit, it's an annual event that we organize. It's actually led by our CEOs for Sustainability Network, and we have roughly 40 different companies that are part of our CEOs network. And so essentially, we have an executive committee, and then obviously the Sustainable Pittsburgh team. We all come together and put on this event, and this year it was on November 19th. Our keynote speaker was Robert Bernarding, who's actually the Chief Sustainability Officer of CBRE Global. So we had him come in from New York to sort of provide an outside perspective of, you know, what's going on across the globe, actually, when it comes to sustainability and how AI is impacting these initiatives and kind of getting his perspective on where Pittsburgh stands in some of these areas. We also had the mayor-elect, Corey O'Connor, open us up, which was very exciting. It was actually one of his first public events, and he kind of laid out a vision for, you know, what he views as key priorities related to sustainability and economic growth, which was very exciting. And then we had two tracks. We had an executive panel that was led by various different leaders in representing companies in southwestern Pennsylvania, which I moderated. And then we had a second track, which was actually focused on practitioners. So, you know, professionals who are looking to build engagement around different sustainability pathways. And Jason, you kind of alluded to it, but sustainability is so cross-sectional, right? It impacts so many different facets of our lives. In that second track that we organized, you know, we had 10 tables that each had a topic, right? Whether it was investing sustainably, thinking about artificial intelligence, thinking about supply chain management, thinking about various different components and the impact of sustainability or how sustainability weaves into that. And so we had roughly 150 people attend, which was really exciting. It was organized at the National Aviary. We were sponsored by Duquesne Light and CBRE this year, with the National Aviary also providing sponsorship. So it was a really, really powerful event. And I think it really set us up for a very strong 2026.
Bhavani Patel is our guest this morning. Something that struck me is your keynote speaker is from CBRE, which is used to be CB Richard Ellis, which is a real estate development company, correct?
Correct.
Let's talk about that, because there is a lot of especially demand for housing, but there is a lot of housing development happening in places like East Liberty and Lawrenceville and on the south side. And I've heard questions about some of that. What does real estate have to do with sustainability and sustainable Pittsburgh?
So for us, it was more about the way in which we think about development, right? Mm-hmm. Thinking about the use, the materials that are used in construction, right? Thinking about the longevity of those materials, thinking about the efficiency of how you run your company. And so Robert's keynote actually focused on, you know, the idea that AI is here and it's something that's going to impact our day-to-day, right? So how can we adopt artificial intelligence to actually help us meet some of our sustainability goals, right? How can we use it to build in efficiency into our processes to allow us to be more effective at what we're doing? And so I think that's a really powerful concept, right? And the example that, one of the examples that he used was thinking about Excel sheets and thinking about, you know, data wrangling. Mm-hmm. If we can use certain AI tools to help us do that data wrangling, to give us some powerful outputs of how to make effective decisions, how to allocate resources more efficiently, ultimately there's an opportunity there to think about cost savings when we think about, you know, how we're allocating money to certain projects or what the effectivity of those kinds of things can be. And so it's also kind of turning it on its head and viewing this as something that can help us become more productive in our day-to-day.
You touched on a big hot button issue, hopefully we won't wade into waters that are uncomfortable for you or for me, for that matter. But AI is on the lips of a lot of people in Pittsburgh right now. I think one of the streets over in Bakery Square has been named AI Avenue. We've had President Trump, who has already come up once in this show, visit Pittsburgh for an AI summit. There have been, I think, two AI summits now that were organized by Senator McCormick. Talk a little bit about the intersection of sustainability with AI, because we've had folks on here from Food and Water Action, for instance, who have talked about the energy demands of AI and the pollution, especially if you're generating energy. These data centers use a lot of energy, and if you're generating that energy with coal-fired power plants or natural gas power plants, you are putting more pollution into the air. I know carbon reduction and emissions reduction is one of the goals mm-hmm. of Sustainable Pittsburgh. So are those goals compatible, of building out AI and reducing our carbon footprint?
So I think that's a great question. And I think, you know, part of the reality here is that it's here. Artificial intelligence mm-hmm. is here, and it's not going away. And it's something that we inevitably do need to participate in as a country, like I said, alluding to the idea of where our global standing is in the makeup of this. And so Pittsburgh clearly has a strong part to play in that, just because of what we have to offer here. When we think about our university institutions, when we think about the young talent, the ability and the desire to want to retain that talent. And part of that is innovating and participating in these sort of future-oriented things, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there is going to be a significant energy demand. We're already seeing it. It's going to have a significant demand on our water. It's clearly going to have implications in terms of how we think about land usage. So I think, you know, the reality is that we need to be able to confront those sort of topics at hand, you know, and grapple with them. And part of that is recognizing that we need to be able to innovate and recognize that it's not just it's not a zero-sum game. If we're going to do this the right way, then we need to be creative in terms of how we approach this, thinking about renewables, thinking about, you know, the data center question, thinking about, you know, the long-term game, which is attracting companies that potentially are AI-driven so that we can actually create jobs, so that we're actually making sure that, you know, there's a wider audience of people that can participate in this innovation economy. And so I think, you know, we are working through a lot of those challenges. And, you know, when you have such big monumental societal shifts that are driven by technological change, it takes a while, I think, for people to figure that out. And, you know, we are seeing it day in and day out, you know, through our networks, but through our, you know, our work in the clean energy space, thinking about workforce visibility, you know, some of the work that we're doing related to career maps. It's a question that's coming up every single day. And I will say this, one of the most interesting things in all of this is finding factual, accurate information that actually depicts the reality of what's happening mm-hmm. and how this is shaping our society. And so if there's one thing that I can offer here, it's just, you know, being aware and consuming information that's accurate and then formulating opinions on how, you know, how this is going to play out.
Maybe it's just a reflection of this time that we are in that is so weird right now, but it does seem that it's breaking down into polarization of either complete AI skepticism or all-in AI cheerleading. And I think, as you're saying, the future is somewhere
yes.
in that large middle area.
That's exactly what I'm saying. And I've always been a firm believer that, you know, the answers exist in the gray. But the reality is that requires us to do the work of fact-finding. It requires us to do the work of innovating. It requires us to do the work of thinking big picture and being inclusive and recognizing that we want to be able to ensure that the most people can benefit from these innovations and this shift. And so that is the work that we're committed to doing at Sustainable Pittsburgh. And, you know, I kind of already shared some of the work that we do, but inevitably AI and these conversations around energy demand and water demand, they have implications for our day-to-day too. And so as you can see, we're also kind of figuring out, you know, what this means for our region.
Let's pause there. Let's take our second break. When we come back, I want to get into some of the programming that is offered through Sustainable Pittsburgh and how, if you have a small business or an organization, you can partner with Sustainable Pittsburgh. We'll be back in 30 seconds to wrap things up.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striflers Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striflers has provided compassionate, professional memorial services for families at White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striflers offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company Design Monuments, Striflers also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at Striflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Back for a final few minutes with Bhavani Patel from Sustainable Pittsburgh. They've just wrapped up their C-Suite Summit, and Bhavani is wrapping up her first year as Executive Director. Congratulations. Before we get into the programming, let me play the devil's advocate, because you know, I can hear people out there yelling at their radios on Sunday morning. And there was an article just in, and we talked about this, there was an article in the Post-Gazette a week or two ago from Adriana Ramirez, was a editorial, saying that the headline is "Pittsburgh is not the future of AI," casting some doubt on whether or not Pittsburgh is too far away from New York City, from the Masspike corridor, from Silicon Valley, to really, for AI really to be making a big impact on Pittsburgh, or vice versa. What would you, I know you haven't read the article, so that's not a fair question, but
yeah.
are you hearing some of that skepticism?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm obviously hearing both sides of this. And
uh-huh.
I think, you know, my response to this would be that Southwestern Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, it's made up of so many things,
mm-hmm.
right? And to say that we're only driven by one thing kind of isn't the full inclusive picture. So yes, I do think that AI is a big part of our region's story just inherently because of Carnegie Mellon, the University of Pittsburgh, and these university institutions and the research and the innovations that are coming out of that.
And we should mention companies such as, and I just happened to look at my coffee mug, Westinghouse Nuclear, EOS Energy, some of the companies that are, and DQE, you mentioned, was one of the sponsors of your C-Suite Summit.
DLC, yeah. So
it, or DLC, rather, I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, so exactly. I mean, so I think that there's multiple really interesting sort of narratives that define what Pittsburgh is. And I think that AI is one of those narratives, especially right now, just given sort of the major conferences that we've have had organized here that have had national implications in terms of framing the narrative. Whether or not that, you know, equates with investments and whether that equates with sort of regional growth in terms of the economy, well, that remains to be seen. And clearly that's going to require some time to be able to kind of see what that transpires and what that looks like. But I do think that, again, it's an opportunity for us to really think big picture and understand how this is going to impact the day-to-day lives of people, right? Thinking about the cost of energy, thinking about grid resiliency, thinking about grid modernization. It's an opportunity for us to meet the moment and again, innovate and encourage our regional companies to sort of think big picture and again, bring more people along. And so, yeah, I think that's an interesting take on it. And I do think that we are really trying to push in the direction of defining ourselves as the AI region. You know, if that means that we're able to attract more companies that want to, you know, invest and create more jobs and get people, you know, living wages and in a sense of upward mobility, then let's do that.
Somewhere deep on our website of TubeCityOnline.com, there's an article about the 19th century and as the steel industry was starting to take off in Western Pennsylvania, how manufacturers in England and Germany responded that, well, they'll never get good steel out of Pittsburgh. What would Pittsburgh know about steel making? And of course, we know how that story turned out.
I love that. I mean, I think that's the core of who we are as a people, that grit, that sense of resiliency. That is what Pittsburgh is. And, you know, we always have had the ability to surprise people and kind of meet that moment in really big, big ways. And that's just a part of who we are.
In these final few moments, Bhavani Patel is our guest this morning. She's Executive Director of Sustainable Pittsburgh. What are some of the programming opportunities and outreach and partnership opportunities that Sustainable Pittsburgh offers?
Yeah, so I mentioned our CEOs for Sustainability Network, where we work with larger companies. We also have our Clean Energy Roundtable. And one of the things that we've actually built out of that is our Future Energy Jobs Hub, which essentially is talking about the energy economy and different career pathways for people that are looking to make a transition and trying to get involved in the energy sector. And so we've developed two career maps. One's focused on construction and the other's advanced manufacturing. And so there are opportunities for organizations to collaborate with Sustainable Pittsburgh to use those career maps to guide people who are looking to, you know, find jobs and to get involved and to sort of, you know, get involved in these sectors as investment continues to grow. And then the other piece of the work that we do is our recognition programs, where we work with restaurants and shops to essentially help guide them through a sustainability framework. So they would, you know, fill out a questionnaire. It's pretty extensive, a sort of audit of your sustainability initiatives as a business, you know, waste reduction, renewable energy, different practices that you can adopt. And then we essentially work with you to help you increase your score. And that means, you know, Sustainable Pittsburgh providing support in terms of funding opportunities to help you maybe, you know, get new appliances or that might be more energy efficient, for example. And so we are actually have launched a big campaign called Bridge It Together ahead of the NFL draft to really help build more awareness of all the amazing businesses in our region, small businesses that are doing this work to make sure that people can have a sense of visibility when they come and visit Pittsburgh for the NFL draft.
Do they have to be a large business? Because we've been talking about companies such as CBRE or DLC.
No.
Small proprietor type businesses?
Completely, yes.
Okay.
Our recognition programs are absolutely open to any size business. And so, yeah, we want to work with you. We want to help sort of elevate your profile, especially when it comes to sustainability initiatives. And so please reach out.
So contractors, construction companies, those kinds of businesses...
Yeah, workplaces.
Could from that.
Correct. Restaurants, shops, workplaces.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Reach out through sustainablepittsburgh.org.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Bhavani Patel has been our guest this morning. You can find her at sustainablepittsburgh.org, or you can find them on social media at Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Anything upcoming for 2026 that you'd like to promote? Thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening this morning to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, broadcasting from the Tube City Center for Business and Innovation in downtown McKeesport. So long for now.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online. We'll